This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
I'll tell you, it's time to hit the pause button, don't you think? I mean, we've been rambling down the road so quickly. And sometimes speed can get you in trouble, and maybe we do need to slow down for just a moment and really consider what it is at stake in this 2016 election. Welcome back. It's the top of the hour, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Well, Donald Trump went to speak with, African-Americans. And plead the case. And it's kind of interesting, you know, some people, you know, if you're already against Donald Trump, you really just don't want to hear from him. And so you're going to resist what it is that he has to say. But what is quite evident, even in this most recent movie, Hillary's America, and I know once I say that, there are probably some people who say, oh, I don't want to hear it. You know, but look, this is the truth, at least as best we can tell. And what's available right now, what has been presented. And Professor Carol Swain, also went on and has been on with us several times to talk about, you know, how Black America has been pandered to and what have they gotten out of it. I mean, as I was discussing with someone recently here, you know, just look at the war on poverty with President Johnson in 1964. And since then, we've spent something of upwards of $22 trillion in the war on poverty, which really was targeted, if the truth be known, more than anything, you know, toward Black America. $22 trillion have been invested for the cause of Black America and poverty, and we moved it from 15 to 15.1%. You would think after $22 trillion, there would be something a little bit more positive in that. It is quite an indictment on government being the answer to the ills of Black America, and that's what Donald Trump is saying, because this was all led, if you remember, by the Democratic Party and Lyndon Baines Johnson, who assured the Southern Democrats who were resistant to support this this bill. He said, look, if you go along with this, I'll guarantee you Black America will be voting Democrat for the next 200 years. And this is why people scratch their heads and go, we don't understand it. The policies, the very policies that they have enacted has hurt and has hindered Black America, has not helped them, and there's enough empirical evidence to make that loud and clear. But yet Black America says, no, hey, we'll continue to vote more of the same. And so where is the disconnect? And so Donald Trump is telling Black America the Democratic Party has failed and betrayed the African-American community. Listen to what he had to say.
No compassion in allowing drug dealers, gang members, and felons to prey on innocent people. The first duty of government to keep the innocent safe, and when I'm president, I will fight for the safety of every American, and especially those Americans who have not known safety for a very, very long time. I'm asking for the vote of every African-American citizen struggling in our country today who wants a different and much better future. It's time for our society to address some honest and very, very difficult truths. The Democratic Party has failed and betrayed the African-American community. Democratic crime policies, education policies, and economic policies have produced only more crime, more broken homes, and more poverty. Thank you.
Well, you know, does he have a point here? Is he going to resonate? He doesn't have to resonate with 100%, but is that going to make sense to, more of Black America, to where they measure the empirical evidence and see it for what it is? And do they see some hope in a Donald Trump administration. Time will tell. This is Bill Martinez. We're live just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us. We got more coming up right after this. Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight, you know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stool, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to get involved in the conversation. We always love to hear your opinion because it does count here. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now is Tom Rogan. Tom, out of Washington, D.C., as a contributor for Opportunity Lives, a panelist on the McLaughlin Group, and a senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute. Tom, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Great to be with you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you here to talk about Obama's Russian delusion. Tom, help us understand here, a week after the president noted the difficult state of Russian relations, Russian forces and their proxies are preparing a new offensive in the Ukraine. Russia's slaughter of civilians in Syria continues. And yet, in another Balkan adventure, Russia is planning new military exercises with Serbia. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, the piece that I wrote, which you just referenced there, is trying to make the point of view that in terms of what Vladimir Putin has been doing in the last week, after President Obama expressed concern about the state of relations, but optimism that on Ukraine and on Syria specifically, that Russia would engage more constructively with the United States, the very opposite is happening. And I think that shows the divergence between President Putin sees President Obama and how President Obama sees President Putin. I think on the part of President Obama, he looks at President Putin and sees someone who, to some degree, is tempered by the economic difficulties that Russia faces, and that someone who ultimately doesn't want to have to remain in Syria or continue to suffer under sanctions in Ukraine, Western sanctions there. But I think President Putin sees it differently. He sees his economic difficulties as at home as something that doesn't necessarily affect him and the ruling elite, because Russia, you know, there are some very poor people, but there are some very rich people around Putin. And again, he is not someone vested with moral interest in the poorest members of Russian society.
So exactly.
Seeing President Putin's, sorry, President Obama's weakness in terms of Syria, his refusal to, you know, back away from his, you know, President Obama at the moment is hesitating on whether he would continue to demand that Bashar Assad would step down. Obviously, the Russians want Assad to stay there. President Obama in Ukraine has been relatively impotent in terms of Russian escalation. And so for Putin, all this stuff allows him to, again, carve out that Eastern Bloc in Eastern Europe and allow his domination there in terms of proxy states, pro-Russia instead of pro-Western, and in the Middle East more specifically. And I think this is the big issue. By undercutting American credibility with allies like Saudi Arabia and Turkey, he can put those allies, those traditional American allies, in a position where they now come under the Russian orbit. And the Saudis in particular allows, you know, they buy a lot of, you know, they'll buy tens of billions of Russian arms goods, so it's good for his economy. But they also, they don't have faith in the United States. And Putin says, you know, you might not like me, but I'm the enemy you know, and I, you know, you better just get on my side, otherwise I'm going to come in your face. So it's that realpolitik differential between President Obama and President Putin.
Why is it that I picture the president banging away on the reset button, thinking that he keeps on hitting it, maybe something's going to catch, when the reality of the world, just as you pointed out, the president's reality or his perspective and worldview is in conflict, I should say, with reality?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think the reason, part of the reason President Obama is so insistent on, you know, denying reality is that he doesn't want to accept he was wrong. So he's more interested, quite frankly, in terms of having a situation wherein he is willing just to sort of play out the clock and let the Russians sort of do what they will do. But I also think there's this delusion on his part that you know, he's very hesitant about engaging the United States in more concerted action around the world. And so because of that, he's just willing to essentially keep yielding to Vladimir Putin. The problem we have is that as these dynamics become more entrenched, it becomes that much harder for the next American president to change course and rectify the situation.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you. What does this leave for the next administration? I mean, their hands are going to be filled big time. We have domestic issues to deal with, but we still need to, you know, keep our eye on what's happening internationally. As you say, Russia's expanding their sphere of influence. It's the devil you know versus the one that you thought you knew, and all of a sudden, you know, the branding and you know, sense of confidence that maybe our Middle East allies had about America have all gone by the wayside. I just think there's so much damage repair that needs to be done by this next administration. Whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, they're going to both have their hands full regardless.
They absolutely will, but you know, you see the distinction on the part. You know, President Trump would be, I think, much more inclined to give latitude to Russia in terms of those interests. I think he's more on the sort of isolationist mind of things, and Hillary Clinton, I think, would be more hesitant again, and would want to challenge the Russians more. But the critical question becomes, you know, a lot of people always say to me, well, why is this relevant to the United States? And, you know, why does it matter what happens in these places? And what I come down to, and again, I say this as an American who grew up abroad, hence my accent, mm-hmm. You know, my dad was in the State Department, is that the United States, where the United States doesn't play this role in the world in terms of behind the scenes influencing people, credibility with allies, challenging Russia on things, you know, there's a line here that you cannot pass. Very unpleasant people do very aggressive things. That destabilizes international order in terms of economics. It makes, you know, it limits the opportunity for wealth creation, but it endangers people. And so if you look at the world today, the growth of ISIS, the continuing in the situation in Saudi Arabia now, where reform becomes less likely as Saudi Arabia moves into the Russian orbit, they'll probably double down on what they have done, well, at least pre-2003, but still to a degree today, which is funding Islamist extremists. China, with this imperial island campaign that echoes the Japanese in the 1930s. All of this stuff is very serious, and eventually, at a critical point, will either engage the United States being subordinated as a second-tier power below China or below the Russian Empire, as I would call it, and, you know, as a secondary basic point, if it came to conflict in these situations, it would be very significant, and we would have a significant loss of life, and potentially, you know, obviously we're talking about nuclear powers here, so the stakes can't be underestimated.
Well, the superpower status of America is at stake here, and it's not just to have a big S on our chest and act like we're all that in a bag of chips. As you say, there are allies, there's the rest of the world that's been counting on the United States to some degree to kind of hold the bad players at bay, and right now, it would appear, Tom, that they have a tremendous amount of latitude, and more latitude than they've had in the recent past.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And again, the latitude comes from somewhere. It didn't spring from the ether. It's a product of this administration's deliberate strategic disinterest, the idea that by taking the United States out of the world, that you can have a situation develop where people find their own way, that the United States doesn't have to, you know, be the world policeman, and you know, that other actors, again, that Russia will learn that, okay, this isn't so great for us in Syria, or that other actors in the Middle East, the Iranians and the Saudi Arabians, will come to the table and form a compromise. No, the opposite happened.
Exactly.
The paranoia, the sense of hatred for each other, the sense of opportunity on the part of essential dictators like Putin, President Xi in China, the ruling party there, that these adversaries just seek power in the vacuum and push it as far as they can do. And the proof, I think, of what I'm saying is, you know, any of your listeners, Bill, if they look around the world today, I would suggest that they are more likely than not to say they feel less safe than they did at the end of President Bush's time.
Without a doubt. Tom Rogan, thank you so much. Great insight. Thank you for being on Bill Martinez Live.
These look like renowned interior design team Marks and Friends have partnered with LG Electronics to showcase the home design trends of today's modern family.
One thing that's very important to all of our clients that we think is a huge design trend is to show off your television. You don't hide them anymore. For example, the LG Signature OLED TV, which is picture on glass, it's completely gorgeous, it's razor thin, and it's a work of art.
No matter your age or life stage, it seems technology is at the forefront of any design, and the TV remains king in the American home. LG's Dave Vanderwall.
Families want both form and function in their living room. And now LG's OLED television delivers on both. Beyond picture quality, which of course it is the best picture ever, but it's almost an aesthetic art form in itself, so it blends into any kind of living room. The OLED television has the beautiful design that all families are looking for.
And there you have it, the 21st century living space.
Technically, I wasn't invited to this wedding, but you can stroll into any event with a camera and people will assume you're the photographer. This bag's holding more than cameras. It's also got an RFID scanner that's picking up all your personal information. Debit cards, credit cards, even that key to your office. So while the bride's taking his last name, I'll be taking yours. Say cheese!
Do you have a stronghold on your identity? ID Stronghold pioneered RFID blocking technology over a decade ago. For about the same price as an unprotected wallet, you can get a stronghold on your credit cards, license, and other critical data with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses. Other RFID blocking technology simply isn't the same. Check the label. If it's not an ID Stronghold, it's probably weak.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets in bifold, trifold, and the popular mini style.
Get the original RFID blocking wallets. IDStronghold.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-725-2487. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-725-2487. 1-800-725-2487.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
I'd say not only more.
millennials, I'd say all of America, you got to know what you believe and why. I mean, that's the opportunity in this information age. As one said, we have so much information, but we know so little. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. Sarah Westwood is with us, a watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. And speaking of so much information and knowing so little, Sarah, first of all, always good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're beginning, you know, we're starting to be baby headquarters here, and of course your little one is growing by leaps and bounds, and, you know, I've been talking about my grandson, and your little one is just doing great, huh?
He is. He's about to start eating solid foods, so it goes quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of amazing, you know, and I was talking about my grandson that my daughter's having a tough time with him only because he's sleeping so much through, you know, he's just been, you know, one of those unique situations because, as you know, the little ones, they need feeding on a regular basis. And in her case, you know, he wants, you know, they told her, said about every 3 hours, and it's in about 4 hours she has to finally wake him up and say, okay, time to eat, little guy. And he'll eat, and then boom, he's knocked out for another 4 hours at least. So it's been one of those experiences. And I know some mothers hearing this going, I wish my kid would give me 4 hours of sleep, you know. So. Yeah.
And
with your little guy now starting to eat solid food, so you might be able to sleep through the night here, huh?
I'm finally, yeah, I feel like I'm starting to come back to a normal lifestyle, such as it is, so that's good.
If you can say normal as a watchdog reporter, and speaking of normal, I mean, you have become the Hillary email watchdog. Gosh, Sarah, we've been talking about this. It just seems for eons, and we talked about this steady, slow drip of torture on these Hillary emails, and you say in your recent column, it's not over. We've got six batches of Clinton-related documents that we're still waiting on, right?
Exactly. We're far from over. There are at least a half dozen media outlets and watchdog groups that are suing the State Department right now to get documents related to Clinton's tenure, and remember how long it took to get the original batch of Hillary Clinton's work-related emails out, right? It took 8 months of releasing them at the end of every month, just to the delight of reporters, often on a Friday night. Case was in court for many months before that, so that was more than a year-long process of getting those documents out. And there are thousands and thousands more records that are yet to come out, and most of them we won't see until after the election.
And how many will Julian Assange present to us?
We just don't know what he has in his possession. You know, he claims to have documents from the Clinton Foundation. We've heard that he has lots of Hillary Clinton's emails, but so far in regards to specifically Hillary Clinton's emails from her server, Julian Assange has not released anything that the State Department didn't already publish.
Well, he's kind of throwing out there, though, the possibility that he has material that makes it almost impossible for the DOJ to indict. You know, for him to make that statement, I mean, like anybody, you know, that's involved in the news, you always want to have some sort of big headline. But he says so with some sense of confidence.
And we just don't know where it is he got that material, but we've heard the Clinton Foundation was hacked. That could be where he's drawing these conclusions. We know that perhaps her campaign servers were infiltrated. There's a lot of unknowns here because he has released so little information about what he may or may not have. But to his credit, the emails that were obtained from the Democratic National Committee were able to make huge, significant changes to the Democratic Party. It was the last straw for Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was removed from her position. And so clearly the records that he's obtained, they do have the power to affect what's going on in the election.
Well, what's yet to be seen, unless he pulls out some sort of blue dress, is it going to be something that dynamic that would actually really indict one Hillary Clinton? I mean, you got to hand it to her. For her to be able to withstand this barrage of
you know, comments and punditry. And, you know, we say on this show, in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and that continues to be the order of the day. So all of a sudden, anybody that comes up with any possible scenario on these emails, they're wearing tin foil until something comes out that finally attaches and can stick with her, if that's even possible. I mean, it is amazing. And I was thinking the other day, Sarah, that, you know, with the Clintons, you know, both Bill and Hillary, it's not simple. It's always complex. You get all these conspiracies and all these things, and you're accused of being some sort of knucklehead if you just ask the question. But they're the ones that are causing the question to be asked, aren't they?
Exactly. And that's been our strategy, is just to dismiss any kind of speculation about the controversies as, you know, some sort of conspiracy, or as this is characterized, this as being old news. And but the speculation, like you said, is what takes up the space that is left when they refuse to provide any details about what happened themselves. And, you know, all of these documents that we're waiting for the State Department to produce, you know, we're talking about the emails she deleted. We're talking about emails from her aides. We're talking about her official schedules of who she met with. Those documents could, in theory, exonerate her from all of these allegations, you know, if they could prove that this was all a right-wing conspiracy. And if that were the case, you would maybe expect to see her asking the State Department to go ahead and release them so we can clear up this confusion. That's not what you see happening. You see an attempt to keep those documents under wraps for as long as possible, and that should tell you something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, exactly. If it was in her favor, hey, release the documents. You're exactly right. So there must be something there, not to mention all the other things that surround these emails, including Benghazi, which we still can't seem to get to the bottom of, and then also the pressure that's on FBI Director James Comey these days. He's getting backed in a corner. He's almost checkmated himself. What do you think?
Well, it was a really significant development last week when we saw this revelation that the FBI had gone to senior Justice Department officials with the backing of three DOJ field offices and asked to have a public corruption case be opened into the Clinton Foundation. And Comey's FBI was overruled in that decision. You know, that would have been a way for Director Comey to regain some of his credibility among Republicans for giving Hillary Clinton what many have seen as a lenient outcome of the email investigation. So, you know, maybe he could have recouped some of that credibility. With an aggressive probe against the Clinton Foundation, that got shut down. And it's significant that the FBI thought that the allegations against the Clinton Foundation were credible enough to send this to the public integrity wing of the Justice Department.
Sarah, you've been, as I said, you've been watching, you've been, you know, just bird dogging, you know, this whole situation, it seems, from day one. And here we are with six batches of Clinton-related documents still to be released. You know, what are you expecting? I mean, do you have any expectation, or are you just waiting for another Friday night dump and, you know, lots of weekend hours burned, you know, going through and deciphering the next email dump?
Well, I think that these emails, most of them will not be coming out until after the election. I mean, when you're talking about the thousands of deleted emails that the FBI recovered, gave to the State Department, and will soon be released, we won't even know the timeline of that release until the end of August, let alone start seeing actual documents come out.
Is that unfair to the voting, politic, that the voters themselves are not going to know till after the election? What's wrong with this picture?
Right. Well, that's certainly what ethics lawyers are saying to the State Department in court right now, is that these documents have an enormous relevance to the election, and the State Department should find a way to make them available before the election, because they could have a severe implication for the outcome.
Without a doubt. Sarah Westwood, watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. Sarah, thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
You.
It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
long were you a slave?
5 years.
What is your name?
Benna. This Friday, my family was betrayed by my own brother. On the road to revenge, I won't let him go unpunished. One man was shown the path.
There is a way. Defeat your brother in the arena and free us all.
To redemption.
People would follow you. I would follow you.
You should have killed me.
I will.
No! No! Run now, brother!
Ben-Hur. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters, Real D3D and IMAX 3D Friday.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul. That's how I know. You take our brokenness and make us beautiful.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Well, it's all about you, America. We've got to be your voice when so many would want to tell you in the name of political correctness that your voice doesn't matter. It does matter. If we're going to get this country back on track, we need everybody all in. Nobody deserves to be shut down. This is why our First Amendment right is so critical to not only our founding, but the continuation of this great American Republic that we're experiencing, that some would say is teetering to the point that it's starting to slip away. It is that critical, I believe. 27 minutes right now before the top of the hour. Abby Schachter is with us. She's a regular contributor to the Weekly Standard, Acculturated, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and Reason, among other publications. As a mom of four kids, Abby has come to know the overbearing nanny state firsthand. No Child Left Alone exposes the state's worst invasions into parenting and gives voice to moms and dads who are fighting to take back control over their families. Abby Schachter, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific, and I appreciate your openness and the sharing of what you've experienced firsthand. You've given voice to many moms and dads across this country with your new book, No Child Left Alone, Getting the Government Out of Parenting.
Thanks. Yeah, I wrote it basically to highlight parents. I call them Captain Mommies and Captain Daddies. These are parents who have basically run up against the worst helicopter parent in America. That's Uncle Sam. And they basically have decided that they want to fight back for their rights to raise their children the way they want.
Well, when Hillary Clinton made the statement that it takes a village, you know, I'm not sure people, I mean, it sounded good rhetorically and as a headline, but when you really delved into what she was actually saying, it was quite frightening, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at she provides a really good analysis of some of the things that we want to care about in our society. We want families to be strong. We want families to, you know, to raise their children. We want children raised to be happy and healthy and achieve their dreams. The problem is that just about every solution she can come up with for problems with that vision has to rely on a government solution. And mm-hmm. as I found writing this book, the government in many cases really has no role. But even if you would think that it could have a role, it does things really badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you almost want to send them a memo to remind them of, you know, what doctors say, do no harm. How about a government that does no harm?
Right. Well, that's certainly something that doesn't seem to occur to the bureaucrats or the legislators when they write all the rules that they have that really oppress parents across the country. So there's examples of parents being criminalized for allowing their kids to walk to the pizza store or to try and walk to the playground by themselves. And in the case of one couple in Maryland who got in trouble with the law because of that wanting to raise resilient, self-reliant children, the state came along and said, we're going to punish you even though the rule we've written doesn't even include a warning against what you did, right? The laws mm-hmm. in Maryland at the time said, you may not leave children unattended in your home. You may not leave them unattended in a car, but it didn't say anything about leaving them unattended outside. And the state still imposed, you know, there was still police involvement. The parents had to provide, they were charged with neglect. They had to provide a safety plan. They had to, you know, deal with child protective services. So really, if you believe that you had the children, so you should be able to raise them. There are a lot of parents who get in trouble for that.
Now, Abby, we were talking with John Rutherford earlier, John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, and mm-hmm. he talked about the call for the local communities to push back on these issues. Now, is this something driven, you know, particularly maybe reinforced at the state level, you know, down to the local level? Does there need to be more of a concerted pushback at the local and the state? And then, you know, hopefully, you know, it resonates into the federal. What is the possible pushback here that we can do?
Right. Well, there's several possibilities. I mean, one of the things that I really think is important about the reporting that I've done for No Child Left Alone is there are a lot of stories of parents who really just on a small scale wanted to change something in their local community. So I spoke to a woman whose son was accosted by the police because he was walking alone to soccer practice, and she became a real advocate for safer sidewalks and for sidewalks in general, because she felt that that was an excellent way of encouraging walking in her community. There are families now in Florida who are fighting hard for more recess in their kids' schools. And there was just an occasion where the pressure from parents of locally in Rhode Island led all the way to the governor of Rhode Island signing legislation And I mean, it's amazing that this is even necessary, but she has now signed legislation that every child in Rhode Island must have 20 consecutive minutes of recess every day. So there really is a way for grassroots efforts on the part of parents to say we're fed up with this rule or that one, and then they have to really get organized and fight hard, because changing this culture is going to take a lot of work.
And Abby, you know, the mainstream media and, of course, you know, the bureaucracy doesn't want us to hear of these successes. And this is why your book, No Child Left Alone, is so important, and the work that you're doing, so that people can be encouraged to understand that there is power in we the people, and there is power in the grassroots level. And if we're going to affect the change that is necessary to get this country back on track, it's going to be because of the local effort, don't you say?
Absolutely. I really believe that. I think it's one of the reasons why it's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because it's the opposite of what the government does. In most cases, the nanny state is saying, we're going to impose a one-size-fits-all solution to a certain problem, and we're going to impose it across the country, or we're going to impose it across the state. And the closer you bring the solving of problems to the people who are effective, the more accountability you have, right?
Exactly.
So if I want the school lunches in my kid's school to change, I shouldn't have to worry about a bureaucrat at the USDA in Washington, D.C. I should have to go to my local school district or even my local school and say, you know what, I want the lunches to be better or different, and let's talk about how we can do that, and just leave the bureaucrats who have no accountability out of it.
Yes. You say the bureaucrats, and maybe even so much as the president's wife, because whenever she says something, somehow the bureaucrats take our money, our hard-earned money that's in the U.S. Treasury, and they use it against us, and they put the pressure on the local level. So this thing's turned upside down. Abby, again, congratulations on the book. How can people be encouraged and be in connection with you and your efforts to so that they can read more about these success stories that are happening at the local level?
Well, two ways. I would go out and buy No Child Left Alone. You can get it online at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. And I blog at CaptainMommy.com. So if you want to...
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare. Full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
I want to live this.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. As always, for more information on the show, Bill Martinez Live.
Hopefully chose.
Please welcome. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information that you need to know. Well, Pastor John Hagee is going to be keynoting a three-day star-studded American gospel celebration come September 1st through the 3rd in one of my favorite towns, Louisville's Freedom Hall at the Kentucky Exposition Center. And with us right now on the air to talk to us about it is Pastor John Hagee and Pastor Matt Hagee. Pastor Hagee's, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are we doing?
We're doing well, Bill. It's a pleasure to hear you.
Good to talk to you, Bill.
Always good to be talking to you guys, and we got something real exciting going on. Tell our audience about this three-day Faith and Freedom event that's going to be featuring Diamond Rio and Lee Greenwood and a lot of other stars as well.
Okay, Bill, on September the 1st and 2nd and 3rd, Matthew and I are going to be preaching at the Gospel American Gospel Celebration at the Freedom Hall in Louisville. I'll be preaching Thursday and Friday night, and Matt will be preaching on Saturday. This is also going to be a celebration of faith and freedom, honoring our military veterans each night. We're going to be giving a home away to a military family each night. This is a program that we began years ago with Lieutenant General Leroy Sisco, and it's our way of saying to all of the service personnel at home and abroad how much we appreciate their service in the U.S. military of standing with and defending the American people.
Well, Matt, you know, what an honor for you and your dad as pastors to, you know, serve, you know, the community, to serve these military families. We're talking these Gold Star spouses that are going to be honored in a special way. And I know you wish you could do so much more for the sacrifice and the way that they have honored our country, right?
Without question, there's really nothing that can repay what they've done. But one of the beautiful things about heroes, and that's really what all of these veterans are, they're heroes. They don't consider themselves as having sacrificed. They consider themselves as having given. They willfully chose to defend what we value, and the only way that we can repay that is to honor their sacrifice by defending what they fought for. Faith, family, and freedom is what the American Gospel Celebration is all about. And I think that regardless of the various backgrounds of listeners and individuals across the country, everyone who values liberty is certainly concerned about their faith, their family, and their freedom.
You know, Pastor John, in my conversations with many experts, political pundits, the theme that they seem to be focusing on and the call for America is that this is a time for service and sacrifice. Is that what you're seeing as well?
It's a time for service and sacrifice, but it's also a time for the body of Christ, the people who are numbered among the righteous, to recognize that this country is standing on the precipice, that we as a nation are choosing which direction we're going to go in the future and what kind of country we are leaving to our children and to our grandchildren. And we are calling for the American people to wake up to the realization that America is under attack morally, spiritually, economically, politically, and we're going to talk about this in the American Gospel Celebration September the 1st through the 3rd and encourage every person who is a person of biblical conviction to get up and go vote their righteous convictions so that this nation may continue to be one nation under God.
Well, Pastor Matt, as your father has articulated and as we're seeing, is the baton is being passed to the next generation. And I got to imagine there is a sense of urgency that is beginning to burn inside your very spirit that has a bended knee to God's will, that it will be done. And now more than ever, because as your father just articulated, if America was ever at a critical precipice in this modern era, it is today, isn't it?
Without question, we're at a point where each person has to make a decision about how much responsibility they want to take for their own liberty. You know, our founding fathers had a very real sense of personal responsibility, and for generations, that one particular strength of character is what made America the nation that it is, the shining city, the society that made other nations of the world desire to come to our shores. And now we find ourselves in a situation where a generation seems to have forgotten how we got here. And it's imperative that we be reminded and that we return to the simple life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness principles that are outlined in our founding documents. Because as I have said often, as the father of four young children, I look forward to a day when my grandchildren can tell me what a great nation we're going to be in, not me tell them what a great nation we once were.
Exactly. And that's what's absolutely key to what we're faced with here, Pastor John Hagee, is that it is the very future of this country. It is the heritage that we pass on to our kids. We just added a new grandson to our family line this past week. He was born in Oahu, Hawaii. He's a Maui boy, and he's back home in Maui, but was born in Oahu this past Wednesday. So we've been celebrating that, and it really brings to focus for us the significance of a great America in the future, but it will not continue to be great if we continue to ignore godly principles.
The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The more secular America becomes, the further away we get from the Word of God, and the more godless we become. What we're calling progress is not progress, it's moral insanity. We've come to the place where we have defied the laws of God, and God has simply said, if you turn your back on me, I'll turn my back on you. I'll remove the hedge of protection. And America has become Sodom and Gomorrah reborn. When you can get on the television and laugh about selling baby body parts, you have eclipsed Sodom and Gomorrah. We as a nation must recognize, we as a righteous nation, as people of faith, must recognize that we are salt and light in this generation. We are to be the light of the world, not over in the corner hiding what we have, but standing boldly, stating clearly the principles of righteousness and still leading the charge for this nation to be all it can be by the grace and wisdom of God.
You know, Matt, in a recent Gallup poll here, probably about 9 months ago, it indicated that secular America was looking to the church saying, where's the church? Where's the moral compass? We've lost our way. And I find it a bit ironic because they've been telling the church, as your father just stated, to not be involved in the conversation. And so here we are. This country is reaping exactly what it has sown. It says that God will not be mocked. This is one of those immutable laws. We're not going to plant unrighteousness and suddenly find righteousness. It's only in planting righteousness that we will discover righteousness, correct?
Without a doubt. You know, the thing that we've done as a society is we've become experts at the excuse. We've lost the strength of character to decide to do right and not do wrong, and have created excuses based on our circumstances. We tell each other, well, if you understood the circumstance, then you'd understand and justify the behavior. That's not righteousness, that's relativism. And
yes,
we've got to return to being a society that says, even if it costs me something, I'll have enough strength to do what's right because that's what character says I should do.
Well, John, you've got the first two nights. You'll be bringing the word. Do you want to give us a little preview of what we can expect on those first two nights?
Basically, what I'm going to be talking about is that freedom is not free, that where America is right now morally and spiritually, what we must do as a people to take America back from the moral and spiritual sludge pit in which we find ourselves, that we as a people must start sending people to Washington who are godly, who have righteous standards, who are not proven liars, who are not traitors to democracy. We need, as a nation, to wake up from the politically correct madness in which we find ourselves and start speaking the truth with such candor and such clarity that anyone can get it. So we offend the secular progressives. Who cares? It's time for the truth to be spoken without apology.
Exactly. Well, Pastor Matt, you're bringing up the Anchor Leg Saturday night. We've got some great performers, including Grammy and Dove Award-winning Diamond Rio, Lee Greenwood, Larry Gatlin, the Crab Family, Ganton Junction, and many more. It's going to be an incredible celebration September 1st through the 3rd in Louisville's Freedom Hall at the Kentucky Exposition Center. We got about 20 seconds left. I'll let you bring it home. What can the people look forward to?
You know, it's going to be a celebration, again, of faith, of family, and of freedom. And we're going to give everyone who comes the opportunity to really be reminded of what it is that we value in this country. And I believe that people are going to leave inspired. I believe that they're going to leave hopeful that they can be a part of rebuilding a foundation of righteousness that this nation truly deserves and needs. And we're prayerful that this starts a groundswell of just good old-fashioned American patriotism and biblical values that carries through the end of this year and into the beginning of next year.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Introducing the